news, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5-807. Mobile Mornings, 251-343-0106. You can call the show if you want, or you can text the show, certainly. You can pick your subject, or if you have an opinion about something we're talking about, we're going to get into some local issues here in a moment. Feel free to chime in again, 251-343-0106.
Let me also remind you, another way you can contact the show and the station, and that's by using the FM Talk 106.5 app, which if you haven't used it ever, or if you haven't used it in, let's say, a year or two, it is really impressive, and nothing to slow you down from opening it up and getting that streaming going. It doesn't have that long, annoying ad at the beginning anymore that so many you, including me, were kind of frustrated with. It's a great app. I have it with me all the time, and if you just happen to not be around an FM radio, it works great. So you can use that, though. If you click the microphone at the bottom of the page, you can leave us a voicemail, and you can put a fake handle on there. You can give us your name, whatever, but you can leave us a voicemail there, and if we can get to it before the time the show ends, we'll play that on the air, as long as we don't have to edit it out too much.
Yeah, we had
dirty
to edit
language.
Well, this was straight to our desks. We had to edit a voicemail a couple of weeks back, and it was about me. It was like, wow, man. Guess you have a strong opinion of it.
Yeah, that was so funny. We might have to revisit that one day.
I would like to.
The voicemails we were getting. 251-343-0106. We've got some bridge talk and tolling on the way, and also the Pritchard and the Pritchard City Council and the battle with the mayor. That's going on with some court dates coming up here very soon. A lot of talk this morning about the solar project in Stockton and whether Silicon Ranch will be grandfathered in regardless of whatever zoning regulations are or are not put in place. So we'll get to some of those texts but
I think what I heard in Reagan Farr's voice and words was somebody who's been down this road before, and he says we're moving forward with it. I'm not saying I'm for or against or whatever, just as someone observing this story as it unfolds. Reagan Farr is like, we've been here before. We've been here trying to get things going, had all our T's crossed and I's dotted, and it's going to happen. And he's not being kind of not being negative against the people who have formed this coalition against them. He's not really lobbing any grenades their way. He's just kind of stating matter of fact, it's going to happen. So we'll see.
Yeah, and there's, of course, a lot of pushback on that, but also I want to get to this op-ed from former commissioner of the Baldwin County Planning and Zoning Commission, Bill Boer, and that was on 1819 News and a couple other sites from around the state. So we'll get to that, but why don't we talk about the airport? Because a lot of Mobile Airport Authority news out there, and I mentioned that they voted yesterday, a 4-3 vote, to authorize a contract with this company that will help get the current airport workers ready for that big transition to downtown's Mobile International Airport when it's time to open up. And they mentioned that the staff is capable but stretched thin. That's what Interim Director Adam Hayes said. Well, that staff at Mobile Regional has been stretched thin for a very long time.
It's kind of wheezing to their end there a little bit out on Airport Boulevard, in my estimation, what I've seen. I don't fly all the time. Maybe that's even a better opinion because I'm only there occasionally. And things are quiet. Then you have the lack of air conditioning that wasn't there. That they didn't have that problem. Well, I'd make those couple of trips in May, but there just seems to be, like I said, it's almost like the thing is wheezing at the end. And this new airport, hopefully, will be a sharp contrast to that.
Yeah, man, even parts of Mobile Regional falling apart. Talk about the lights out there sometimes not being bright enough. There's a lot of issues with it right now. And you can make the argument, I think I have before, that, hey, while that is still our airport, we need to keep it up.
Yeah.
But I know that finances only run so far. And with this $381 million project for the new airport, You really have to decide where you're going to spend that money.
Yeah.
But I know that the mayor had a lot to say. The former mayor.
Yep. He's now the airport authority chairman.
Mm-hmm.
Transitioned into that job. It's a good story from Stephen Moody, Fox 10. Did you go to school with Stephen?
I did not.
Okay.
No.
I know that you, some of the reporters out there that you have, you guys learned your craft at the same time.
It's South, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, yeah, they were talking budget. Mobile Airport Authority, former Mayor Sandy Stimson, with sharing an update, including some good news about the budget.
So from a budgeting standpoint, we find ourselves in a very good spot, and that's where currently the projection is that we would be about $6 million under the $381 million budget. Based on some things I know that are kind of in the in process of maybe we need to consider doing, we may end up spending that $6 million to make sure everything is right.
Okay, $6 million under budget, but we'll spend that money anyway. Okay, well, you know, spend it well. That's your decision. And also, you know, again, I think the contrast, hopefully, is going to be pretty dramatic from what we see out on Airport Boulevard now and what we're about to see
in Berkeley.
Yeah. I don't you think? I mean, almost arena. Let's make this thing, let's make it something we can be proud of.
Yeah. I mean, it's a new building. So first off, it better look better.
Yeah, you're right.
The Mobile Regional Airport. But also, I mean, it looks really cool. But looks can only take you so far. You don't talk about how nice an airport looks when you've been delayed for hours and hours and hours, or if it's incredibly difficult to get in.
Yeah, or if the price point is terrible, trying to get to where you're trying to go, and competing airports around here, including now down in Gulf Shores, are doing some great things down there. You know, so you're right. Looks are only looks, but Stimson also discussed the possibility of maybe bringing more airlines in, including Southwest.
Obviously, we are very interested in Southwest, and so we continue to share information with them. We know that they're looking at it through their lens, but we will give them information that maybe are looking at it a different way, because we think we have a story to tell that maybe they haven't thought of. And so that's a process.
So the airport, remember 2022 is when Joseph and Rachel got married and had a lot of family coming in, and I just kept making that trek out. They're staying downtown. The wedding was at the cathedral. Everything was in walking distance. Downtown was great for my family members. But the ride to and from was maddening. And they were like, where the heck?
Yeah, because you had people flying in, right?
Yeah,
flying into regional.
Going to get them. And then they're thinking, certainly we're close to downtown. No, we got to get on 65. We come down to airport and then get on 65 and I-10 and then eventually get to their hotels. So that's part of what the appeal to me of the airport being very, very adjacent to downtown. I think you can get from there to Broad Street and Government, I would say, in 10 minutes.
Yeah. And see, I am a little bitter that it is moving, because for years and years and years, I've just taken my little jaunt down Greelot and then
there
over
it is.
And I'm there.
Yeah.
Whether I'm picking up my brother or whoever it may be. So I know for a lot of us in West Mobile, it is kind of bittersweet.
Okay.
You know.
So it may help when you're transporting people to their, you know, you don't want them to stay at your house. God, no. So how about we pick a nice hotel downtown and you can negotiate your own deal there. So I had all those people going downtown. That was one thing. Let's get it close to downtown district, the restaurants and bars, the hotel rooms. Maybe it can advance all of that even, right? Maybe we'll have more of that on the way. The other thing is, it looks like a key component to this is being the proximity to Baldwin County.
Yeah.
So Berkeley, when you think about it, the edge of Berkeley, you can just about see from Baldwin County. That's like part of Mobile that you can view across the bay.
Mm-hmm.
If you get your pirate's glass or whatever, you know, but you could, it's right there. So you take the Bayway, and hopefully it's a good day that day, and just a couple of more minutes, you're at the airport.
And that's a big thing, too. We have to have this bridge. We have to have a new bridge, because imagine if you're trying to get these flyers from Baldwin County, You already need to show up however early enough you feel comfortable for a flight and getting through security. But if you have to factor in that you might be waiting on the Bayway for anywhere from 30 minutes to 2.5 hours.
Yeah, you just say, well, Pensacola's right, no big bridge in between us and there. So that's going to be all about the marketing that's going to go on. But that seems to be a big, I would say, in the points that the airport authority, the way that they're spelling this out is this is a big component to all of that. Bring Baldwin County to Mobile, not the other way. And they'll do their best.
It will be through advertising and marketing that we can tell the story, you know, for those people that are flying out of Baldwin County, you know, that this is, these are the flights we have, you know, this is the drive time, this is why you should fly BFM. And so all of that's being worked on right now as we speak.
Yeah, two things here he said, and you were right. One, what is the drive time? Do I have a variable? Am I worried I'm going to get stuck on the Bayway? I'm not trying to promote all that. I'm just saying these are the facts that we have to deal with the bridge being what it is right now. And again, you have got to make it where it is, where the price point is eye-opening or a difference, or the flights are more convenient or whatever.
Would you say that's probably the number one factor for people buying plane tickets? Well, maybe they coexist together, but pricing and the amount of layovers you might have to take depending on where you leave from and then, you know, just where you can fly to and from. But pricing certainly is the first thing that's normally brought up when people say, well, that's why I flew out of – that's why I drove from, you know, nearly the Mississippi State line all the way over to Pensacola.
Or to Biloxi.
Or to Gulfport. Yeah, that way too. But the pricing is a huge factor there. And, you know, he mentioned bringing in some of these other – carriers like Southwest, which I've been wanting forever because, you know, Nashville is such a big-time Southwest hub and all of these other big-time connectors like Chicago. But what the former Mayor Stimson said is so right. You think you can just get a flight to Chicago daily or however often, but they're already filled up in these big-time airports, and you have to prove to them that your route will be more successful than one coming from some other part of the country.
Yeah, so how do you – so there's a lot on the line here, and there's a lot – and I'm sure if the airport authority is listening to me right now, they're saying, this guy has got no idea. Well, maybe
they're
don't.
Going, duh.
Yeah, but there's a lot on the line, but I don't know that everybody's thinking that. Like, they're thinking, new airport's opening. That'll be great. You know, the casual observer to all this can't follow every story very closely. They're just thinking, okay, it'll be a new airport. It's going to be, it'll be brighter. It'll be cleaner, like the new arena. It'll be nicer furniture. Okay, good. What else? Well, the what else is things that are very important in the pecking order of all this. Mm-hmm. The flights, the cities where it's flying to, and I'd say the cost of the flights and attracting Baldwin County. That's a lot to accomplish.
It really is. And then you combine that with, so you get the airport open, the new arena open downtown. That'll make it easier for, you know, visitors to come in. I'm sure it'll make it easier for maybe acts that you'd want at the new arena to get in and get where they need to be. But that bridge is such a major component in making all of this tick for Mobile, because the way things stand now, it's nearly untenable with just, you know, especially during these months we're in right now, getting across the Bayway either way. When we come back, Brendan Kirby from Fox 10 also talking some about, you know, the tolls on that bridge, the projected tolls, which were at $2.50. The price on the bridge has risen a lot since they said that would be the toll. And this is something we've been talking about for a long time. And I've been saying, you know, there's no way they keep the toll that low. So we'll get into that. Plus your text, and we have a lot of them on the way. 251-343-0106.
Dan and Dalton, two of your all-time favorites here on this Friday on Mobile Mornings. FM Talk 106.5 825 on Mobile Mornings. To the text line we go, 251-343-0106.
Yeah, first off, Philip trying to say that we're rigging the weekend weather scale game. Let me tell you, we're not. And we can't ever since we passed the Save the Regional Weather Scale Act last year.
Yeah,
get rid of that fraudulent voting.
That That sealed the deal. We've got oversight like you can't believe right in this room every Friday morning.
That's right. Congrats again to Irish Indian, who got a bullseye this morning. Texter here, current proposed route of the bridge is not the best route, going through Bay south of the battleship, intersecting at I-10 Bayway and 90-98 Causeway is the best route, faster, cheaper, and better. That's from Peanut. Rick says, let me load this thing up. And it's moving slowly. He says, I'm with Dalton. Bring on Southwest. He said, my wife flew to Atlanta and back this week. She said both flights were packed. That's usual for Delta. Motorman says, what Dan said. If it's not cost effective, I'll still drive to Pensacola or New Orleans. Why drive to New Orleans when you can take the train, Motorman? Larry from Daphne says, someone needs to start an Eastern Shore to Mobile downtown airport ferry service. Avoid the traffic. We'll carry your car. Fire Dogs.
There was talk of that. There's been talk of that ferry service.
Taking you to Brooklyn? Or I don't know.
Taking you down around where the Maritime Museum is.
Okay. Wow. Fire Dog says, I've flown out of Pensacola after I missed a flight because airport was all messed up, Airport Boulevard. I've yet to miss a flight in Pensacola because of traffic. Well, and I don't know if they're done with all their parking upgrades, but yeah, you could dang near miss a flight if you get there and you got to park out at the far edges.
Yeah, that's the one thing about Pensacola that I've noticed. I don't know if they're building additional parking on land or they're just dealing with it, you know, on their own property. And when I did park off property, it wasn't that big a deal. It wasn't far.
No, and they've got they'll pick you up and take you to the airport. Michael says, hopefully Visit Mobile won't have anything to do with marketing at Brooklyn. If they have a hand in it, then there will be LGBT signage everywhere and trans dudes as the welcoming committee. Well, right now at Mobile Regional, well, I don't know for right now. I haven't flown in a long time, but I know that I would walk through and they'd have, you know, banners for the Dollar General Bowl that were like a year old, like welcome Arkansas State or something like that.
So. Not paying attention to the details.
Why? How about this one for Mobile Regional? Why, with only one gate open, is it always the very last one?
I know. That's kind of funny. You've got that one gate that is right there, like when you pass, maybe there's a breakfast or an eatery or something like that, and then there's your gate.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to walk way down.
Well, you have that four-seat bar there that's open like three hours a day.
Yeah. Yes. So, but they make the drunk people keep walking. I don't think that's a good idea.
It's not a very big terminal, so it's not that long of a walk.
I know, but it's funny. You have one that's right there, and then you have to walk a football field to find the other three or four.
And you always see people you know there, at least in my case, generally.
Yeah.
Jason said, good morning, guys. Mayor Davis and Pritchard said she's seeking approval from the council to bring in a top-tier public safety consultant to evaluate and restructure the Pritchard Police Department. Some think that person could be Chief Prine. What do y'all think?
Well, his relationship with that city seems to be pretty solid. He's got good grassroots friendships. He grew up in Alabama Village. Maybe. I mean, he's employable.
He had some success as chief of Mobile. Yeah, it's interesting there. He also said regarding the solar farm thing, anyone sending out mailers and expecting them to be successful is completely tone deaf. I was absolutely sure at one point this election season that I had neighbors that were ganging up on me and just taking their mailers and putting them in my mailbox. Mm. But I think that that's just how many were being sent out.
All those neighbors that Peyton wanted to honor on Father's Day.
Father's Day.
Those guys were jamming your box full.
And Jason also said, with the SCOTUS decision ending temporary protected status, do we now see another increase in ICE protests from the left to rile up their base before the midterms? Maybe with that one, but if this birthright citizenship decision comes down soon, and it's what we want to see, what I want to see, if it goes to end birthright citizenship, you can definitely expect some big-time movement on the streets.
Yeah.
C.B. Carl said, good morning, guys. I heard you earlier talking about the Tuberville residency controversy. That was that clip you played from John Gray.
Right.
He said, at this point, I really don't care where he lives. Right now, I want him to explain what happened to money that he promised to donate to veterans organizations. He said, I did support the senator for governor, but this situation needs to be addressed ASAP.
I think he's right. That money never went toward veterans at salary.
Or that's what it looks like, that he didn't
donate. Looks like he just took that home.
Getting your morning moving. Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Owig.
835 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Getting to the texts here in a minute, 251-343-0106. But right now, time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk to Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Man, we are great. And let's talk about McConnell and the deals you got. I know on the half-ton trucks, really, really great deals. But whatever anyone's looking for, and whether they're looking for a brand-new model or want to go pre-owned, you've got them taken care of.
That's right. We've got a great – I mean, we've got more pre-owned cars than we have ever had here, I promise you. I mean, back in the days when we were selling a lot, we had more cars, but had a lot of cars. But this inventory in the new in the used car side looks great. So it does in the new car side. We've got, like you said, plenty of half-ton trucks. They got 0% for 5 years. And, you know, heck, 0%. Everybody loves 0%. So you got Yukons out here. You got trucks. You got half-ton, three-quarter ton, and one-ton. And like I said, new car, the used car side, McConnellAutomotive.com, we've got just about every car you need, I promise you. Mm-hmm. They've got those certified out there looking good, and we're going to be here all weekend. Looks like the rain going to hold off, and no construction work on the weekend, so we just come on in and see us.
Yeah, should be a good time. And if someone's looking for a vehicle, I mean, whether they want to go with an electric or a hybrid or something to pull the boat, or even a work van or work truck, you can find it for them. You go get it, and you bring it to them.
That's right. We got vans here right now. We got 15 passenger. We got a couple of work vans and a bunch of work trucks. So, like I said, one-stop shop. We got it here. Come on and see us.
All right. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Unnamed texter says, I build my weekend around that weekend weather. Hashtag, it's the most accurate weather forecast out there. And he says that it means, you know, the weekend weather scale and all that. Thank you. We'll pass that along to Dr. Bill. But the fact that he swears by Dr. Bill, that's a good thing for us.
Yeah. Bill texting in a joke on this Friday. I love it, Bill. Love jokes. He said, why did the raisin ask the grape out? Because he couldn't get a date. I told you about. So I have my 7-year-old and my 5-year-old.
Who now call you Dalton.
They refer to me by my government name. That's right. Dalton.
You got to put an end to that.
Which I kind of egg them on and then get them to keep doing it. But they do call me by the name they should, Daddy, often enough. But they, you know, they're at each other's throats,
yeah,
like 5 and 7-year-olds are.
Yeah.
And they've been using this same joke for the last week straight, and I've heard it plenty because it's summertime. But
a lot of flatulent jokes coming out of your ass.
Yeah, there are a lot, and just a lot of flatulence, really, when it comes down to it. But
that's why the material is the material works for the audience.
It does, yeah. But so they're at each other's throats, and my 5-year-old the other day, we're sitting around the dinner table, and she goes, "Why did the banana go to the doctor?" A 7-year-old hops in and answers quickly, like she's answering a quiz. And she goes, "Because it wasn't peeling well." Because it wasn't peeling well. And my 5-year-old just lost it. She was so upset. And I talk to the 7-year-old. I go, "What? Why would you do that? How would you feel if you were trying to tell us a joke and your sister cut you off and told the joke instead?" She went, "Eh, I don't know. I wouldn't really care." I go, "That's a lie. First off, you'd be really upset." And then so she goes, "Well, hold on. Rewind. That's her new thing. Rewind. Proceed, Peyton."
Wow.
So that's the kind of passive aggressiveness and stuff we're dealing with in the Orwig household now.
That's high level passive aggressiveness for a 7-year-old. She's ahead of the curve, man.
She is. Let's see. I had a lot of texts this morning on the solar project. We'll get to that here in a second. Also, we were talking gas station food, kind of a continuation of the conversation
yesterday. Well, it started with my apology about. I wasn't thinking it through, and I was thinking, that's not good catfish at any gas stations, but certainly fried catfish. Mm-hmm. At the places that have got good fried food at gas stations, and you can argue that none of that food is good for you, I get that, but sure tastes good. Yes, Dan Brennan, you dummy, there's a lot of places that have got great...
a lot of meat and threes in the gas stations.
Yeah, and that I think it's What was Fast Time in Daphne? Is that the one I was trying to refer to? They're really good.
Yeah, Fast Times in Daphne is what Chris said. He said best gizzards around too. I was talking about Dunn's up in Grove Hill and how I would eat there all the time when I lived there. The fried bologna sandwiches, fried catfish, chicken tenders. And Troy texted in. He said the same. He said, but he was covering all of 43. He said, I had breakfast and lunch there every day. OC's north of Mount Vernon. Gulf Station in Leroy, the parade truck stop. He said, I spent too much time on 43. Uncle Jake said, sidetrack on Tanner Williams and Wilmer Road. Great biscuit, good coffee from Uncle Jake. And then there were several that mentioned the breakfast gumbo up there in Satsuma.
Yeah, I've heard about that for years, and I've never. What's so breakfast gumbo meaning what? How's it different than...
So it has gumbo. It's not like gumbo. I mean, it's like gumbo in the sense that they toss a lot of great breakfast items in the same.
Oh, okay.
In the same container.
Oh, that makes sense.
So you got the grits, you got the cheese. What I guess you can get shrimp in there or sausage.
I got it.
They got Kaneka. So you could put a lot of things in there. And man, it's always there's always a fast moving line of people in there that are getting their breakfast gumbo for the morning.
That's cool.
So let's bring it back to some of the projects we have going on here in Mobile, and the big one, the bridge, which we're still waiting for them to truly break ground and get this thing going. And Brendan Kirby posting on Fox 10 last night questions about what that toll will be on the bridge. And we've brought it up so many times here on Mobile Mornings, and I've been saying for a long time, and I'm stating the obvious, but it just doesn't feel like there's any way they're going to keep the toll at the level that they said they were going to put the toll at. Even though ALDOT, I think they said it will not be higher than $2.50 for passenger vehicles.
Yep.
If you have that, I guess, the sticker on your car, or if you're paying the yearly fee to have the sticker that just gets you through at the lowest rate possible.
Right.
Higher rates for trucks, an option for a $40 monthly pass, like I mentioned there. Unlike the previous proposal, the Wallace Tunnel would remain free. But that first bridge plan that Governor Ivey killed because Jim Ziegler and others did the anti-toll campaign, wonder if that'll come into the fold here again. So Brendan spoke with Jack Burrell, who's been, of course, as the chairman of the Eastern Shore Metropolitan Planning Organization, a major part of this conversation for a long time. He said that $2.50 toll, quote, that comes out to less than a dollar each way. And while nobody wants a toll, the average of less than a dollar each way stands out as the most important part that came out of that latest study. Brendan writes, left unsaid is what happens if a $2.50 toll doesn't raise enough revenue to pay back the borrowed money. Bonding agreements almost always include fine print that protects bondholders from default. For instance, he takes it to the Pritchard Waterworks Sewer Board when they defaulted on money it borrowed. A lawsuit by the bank that serviced the bonds resulted in a court order putting an outside expert in charge of the system.
Yeah.
Drivers crossing Garcon Point Bridge in Pensacola experienced that almost a decade ago after tolls failed to raise enough revenue. A judge in 2019 ordered the toll rates to be raised. So he went to court and said, actually, we're going to raise that toll. Mike Lee, who has lobbied for a bridge for more than 25 years, says something similar could happen in Mobile. Said ALDOT committed to that $2.50 at a time when the total price tag was much lower than the current $3.5 billion estimate. Lee said, I think that math worked at the moment. Everybody was a go. Well, in came the bids a year or so later, and it had gone from 2-point-something billion to 3-point-something billion.
Mm-hmm.
As ALDOT has pushed back multiple deadlines for starting construction, significant doubts have emerged about whether the bridge is financially feasible. The proposal is to construct a cable-stayed bridge with three lanes in each direction rising 215 feet. It will run from Virginia Street's exit on I-10 and connect to a new bayway that would be wider and taller than the current version. And the state hasn't locked in all of the financing we need for the bridge.
No, not even close.
And Brendan writes, that's despite hundreds of millions of dollars in promised federal grants. So the state's been trying to secure low-interest loans under the TIFIA Act. That's the Transportation Infrastructure Finance and Innovation Act. That could cover nearly half the cost. I know that both U.S. Senators, Katie Britt and Tommy Tuberville, along with our members of Congress and local officials, have been pushing hard and trying to bend the president's ear and tell him how important this project is.
Yeah, to, you know, national security.
And he also spoke with State Senator Greg Allbritton, who just lost in, in the primaries. He's a member of the Alabama Toll Road, Bridge, and Tunnel Authority. He said that reliance on that funding places us in jeopardy left and right. He said the only answer may be a non-traditional, and urged the state to consider a proposal he floated years ago to shelve the Bayway portion of the project. Just build the bridge, a bridge, and express lanes between. Brendan also spoke with Mayor Spiro Chiargottis. He's the Mobile MPO chairman now, taking over after Sandy Stimson.
I guess it's part of the mayor, but part of the mayor's duties, I guess, because Stimson was.
And he said he cannot get into specific dollar amounts, but added that ALDOT is working through the issues. He said he has no doubt that the bridge remains a top priority. And it does, and it's going to take some time whenever they do break ground, but I still feel that is such a crucial component of making every all of these other massive projects work, like the arena, like the airport, and so on down.
Yeah, the arena, too, you're right. I mean, if getting from Baldwin County to Mobile is that much of a problem because of the Bayway, you'd have less people interested in coming across for the shows or the Mystics or whatever. Alabama's going to play there in a couple of years, right?
Right.
Against Iowa. Mm-hmm. You'd have it puts in doubt your entire evening. You want to go to Mobile, you want to get dinner, you want to go to a show and all this kind of stuff, and you're thinking, I can't afford time on the Bayway that I might have to spend.
Texter here, let's see. Troy Fan says, I see that ALDOT not charging a toll for any of the new interstate upgrades in downtown Birmingham. ALDOT, John Cooper, and Governor Meemaw are corrupt. And I know it sounds like sour grapes. We're talking about a $3.5 billion project, which is a lot for a city or a county or a state to take on. But when you look at so much of this federal spending, and I can't help but look at the Iran talk and how many tens of billions of dollars are going to work its way over there. Now, we're hoping that it's not American taxpayer dollars, and that's what the Trump administration keeps telling us. But they still, regardless of who's paying it, our federal government talks about $3 billion like it's something you just hand off to someone on the side of the interstate, right? It's like nothing. And when you're talking about a project this important to, it's not just Mobile and Baldwin counties, we're talking about I-10, such a route for shipping. And I mean, I don't need to go down the list. Yeah. You've heard
hurricane evacuation.
So many politicians talk about the military being able to move equipment. So $3.5 billion, I'm just so still upset that we're not getting any extra federal help on this.
Yeah, so on you know, these scales of money, I mean, it's hard for me to imagine what this all means, but you do see figures like that being tossed around all the time. So you're thinking, well, toss it our way, because this has been a headache for a long time. Not to say other cities, and I know they do, because when I visited, Portland seemed okay, but I'm sure it's got its points in the day. Areas of Seattle on the interstate, you really want to avoid at certain points of the day. It's bad, you know.
Yeah.
It's not a bridge, but it's bad, and they can be backed up. We've got the situation with I-65 near Birmingham.
Yeah,
between Birmingham and Montgomery.
Of course, a lot of work going in on that right now too.
Right, but cities deal with these problems. I think you could justify and make the argument for Mobile to Baldwin County and back and forth on the issues like the military and hurricane evacuation, and then right on down to dollars and cents trying to get to downtown to a game or a show.
Michael,
or the airport.
Michael says the bridge may be starting up sooner rather than later, and says he's seeing some information that might be the case. Well, I hope so, Michael. We've been waiting long enough for that. Let's go to the phones and talk with Joel in Summerdale. Good morning, Joel.
Hey, good morning, guys. I drive a truck every day back and forth across the bridge twice a day, morning and then mid-morning.
I didn't know that.
95% of the vehicles that you see on that interstate is from all over this country. So it's just you're only talking probably 10% of the traffic that's traveling that Bayway.
Local.
Is Baldwin County and Mobile.
Yeah.
This is a national highway that is used by every tag in the United States of America. And it's just a shame that were a second-hand redheaded stepchild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder, Joe, if
there's so many bridges. There's a website. Hold on. There's a website you could go to of international, I mean, just projects that are going on that are getting funded left and right that are more than what this bridge costs.
I wonder if that would make part of the argument of, I don't know, if making it any more successful. It might make it sound better. But if you were to give the numbers of those who are from out of the area, some out of the region, the percentage of those drivers on that bridge that are from states far and wide.
I can't believe there ain't been a survey now checking, reading tags now from, I mean, like I said, I've been driving a truck for 13 years, and I've watched this Bayway just progress, which has been bad for 13 years, but the traveling of folks that are just from all over this country is amazing to me. Hmm. My wife's daddy went to the hospital to Providence a week ago. It took her 2 hours to get back to Summerdale from Mobile. And it was just like, she was like, I'm so happy we built a house over here. And we try not to even go across that Bayway no more. But, I mean, you know, it is what it is with me for my job. But it's just amazing to me that the amount of traffic from all over this country, and you're not talking Mississippi, Louisiana, Florida tags, you're talking Washington, Kentucky. I mean, it's just ongoing everywhere. Missouri, Highway 59 going to the beach is just, Baldwin County probably wouldn't be clustered up with 59 and the Beach Express if you didn't have all these tags from all over the country. I mean, it's just crazy.
Thank you, Joel. Thanks for the call.
Yeah,
and that is interesting.
If a hurricane took it out, or a container ship like in Baltimore, they'd probably handle it.
Yeah.
But try to get it done before something bad happens.
Before a tragedy. Right.
The locals end up paying for it.
Yep. 850, and it's interesting how quickly those things get done, too, when they're after an emergency or tragedy. Mm-hmm. 852, let's call it now, 8 away from 9 o'clock. We'll preview the Jeff Ford Show on the way with Dana Dalton.
Have a traffic tip or your own take on the news? Text the guys at 251-343-0106 on Mobile Mornings.
What's going on? 856 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. If you haven't had enough of news talk, that's all right, because we've got the Jeff Poor Show on the way next.
Yeah, and he'll have Todd Stacy on in hour number one. Scott Buttram with the Trustful Tribune joins in hour number two, and the returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott, on with the Jeff Poor Show in hour number three. Chris in Orange Beach weighing in. He says best fried chicken in the world is the Chevron station at County Road 12. And 65 across the street from it is the best cheeseburger you'll ever put in your mouth.
Where are we talking about?
In Maymay's.
Where? Sorry.
I think it's down there at the beach. He said best fried chicken in the world, Chevron Station, County Road 12 and 65.
Oh,
right across.
Wow.
And then said Maymay's right across from it has the best cheeseburger ever. 251-343-0106 if you want to jump on. We had a lot of discussion earlier in the show about the Stockton Solar Project with Silicon Ranch. And you have this zoning vote that's coming up on Tuesday. But it appears that Silicon Ranch got the information in they needed in time and will be grandfathered in. So regardless if the zoning vote works or not, that they're, it appears, going to be able to put this solar project, solar installation out there in Stockton.
And Megan Fowler, she's opposing it. She said, according to her attorney, it's not a done deal yet. So they feel like they still got life left in the fight.
And while, you know, they say that there have been all these mailers coming from the pro-solar people and that they're from out of state and stuff like that, it seems to me like, as far as public opinion, the anti-solar camp has been much more vocal and heard from. And maybe a lot of officials are scared to put their names on saying, hey, this isn't as bad a project as you're thinking it is, and it could be much worse. And what happened to private property rights and people that didn't want the government involved in what they can do with their property? I encourage you to read. There's an op-ed that's in 1819 News and several other sites, too, just to get every side of the story and every opinion before you know exactly how you feel on this. Bill Boer, I think is how you say his name. He was former commissioner on the Baldwin County Planning and Zoning Commission. I think he lays out a really good case for why all this zoning talk is a little too reactive, maybe.
Yeah.
And is not, the solar farm isn't as bad as it could be. If you can read that, maybe we'll talk about that more next hour or next week. That does it for Mobile Mornings. We'll be back on Monday.
See you then.